So we continue this morning our reflections on the stewardship of authority. It is such a privilege to do this as I look around this room and see all of you. And my greatest heart's desire is to sit down and spend an hour with each of you, catching up, some of you getting to know some of you for the first time, some folks here who have been in the diocese as long as I have. There's so much we have to share, and unfortunately, there's not enough hours in the day. So we do it together in community. We're going to have two segments this morning. And between the two presentations, we'll have some time for retreat. This is, after all, a retreat. Time for silence, time for reflection alone, for journaling, for quiet conversation with others. An opportunity for you to reflect on what you're hearing about authority and what the Spirit is doing in you as you reflect on the authority. So the two sessions today, or the two segments of this session today, are where authority comes from. We have authority because we are under authority. And the second segment will be, we keep authority by giving it away. So much that I will say, as often happens in our preaching and our sharing, will be autobiographical. Some of it will be a little bit particular. But one of the things that I've learned in a lot of years in ordained ministry and in relationship with you is that usually the particular isn't. We have a whole lot more in common as ordained people than there is that this distinguishes us or makes us different from another. So I start with a reflection on something that's kind of a variation on a theme of what Bishop Bob shared last night, that we have authority because Jesus is in authority. We have authority because we are under authority. Whatever power we have, whatever authority we have, isn't because we're in authority. It's not because we're authorities, but because we are under authority. So our authority as ordained people isn't authority over, in the way I hope to characterize it, but authority under. Authority that's a foundation, not power over, but power under. And I mean this as being true for all ordained people, for bishops, for priests, and for deacons. And there's an extent to which, of course, as baptized persons who have also taken vows, it's true for all of the laity. We are under the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are under the Lordship of Christ. Now that term, Lord, is fraught. It's got a lot of baggage in history and in our own time. The word Lord is loaded. It's a gender-specific term that can conjure up images of men lording it over women. And even now that there are women bishops in the House of Lords in England, there is still that sexist sense of the term Lord, gender specific. The term Lord has socioeconomic implications, and it can conjure up images of the wealthy lording it over the poor. It has race and class implications that conjure images of masters lording it over the slaves. The term is loaded. Of course, it was loaded in Jesus' time as well. And Jesus knew and referred to the negative images that come with that word Lord. When he said to his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. it will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus knew about how loaded that term Lord was, and still he used it. And by using it, I think he sought to redeem it and to give it a new meaning, to claim it in a different way from perhaps the ways it had been used before. He took the references to those old social and political realities and he completely turned them around the way he did again and again when he said, "You have heard it said, such and such, and now I tell you this." So Jesus took that loaded term and turned it around. He claimed the word Lord, Kyrios or Marya in Aramaic. And because Jesus redeemed that term and turned it around, I claim that I am under the lordship of Christ. Imperfect as that word is for me and for all of us, most of us, I claim that identity because Jesus claimed it. I claim myself to be under the lordship of Christ. So how do we live under that lordship? Well, our ordination vows point the way. Those ordination vows for us as bishops, priests, and deacons, they offer us a checklist to be faithful in prayer, be faithful in the reading and study of Scripture, be faithful in teaching and preaching, be a pastor, build up the family of God, take part appropriately according to our order in the sacraments so that the reconciling love of God can be known in the world. There's a list there, but it's not just a checklist, of course. If I ever get to thinking that all I have to do is go back to that checklist from time to time and just say, yep, doing it, well, then I can fall prey to that illusion that as long as I'm ticking things off the box, I'm being faithful. We all know that it doesn't work that way because our vows aren't a checklist. They're a way of life, not a checklist, but a way of life. Well, there's one phrase in the ordination vows, and Bishop Shannon referred to it last night in his opening. It's one of the phrases that I have to say catches me up every time that I'm at an ordination or do an ordination. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. To nourish God's people from the riches of his grace. I have to say, and it's sometimes embarrassing, but true, that every time I get myself in trouble, it's because I've forgotten that. And because I try to nourish people from the riches of my grace. And while God has given me a little bit of that, it's not enough. It's not enough. Every time I get in trouble, it's because I forget that. And what I mean by trouble is when I get exhausted or overworked or stressed or depleted or afraid, it's because I've forgotten about nourishing God's people from the riches of Christ's grace, the riches of his grace. So how do I nourish people from the riches of his grace as a person who is under his authority? How do we as ordained people exercise the authority that we are given because we are under authority in ways that nourish others? I'll say something briefly about a few of those ways that are in our ordination vows. First, about the sacraments, because they are one of the clearest ways that we exercise authority because we are under authority. Another confession, for years and years when I was a parish priest, I would get to the offertory sentence and kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Okay, now I'm not on anymore. It's not about me preaching the sermon, and it's not about me paying attention to what the acolytes are doing and making sure that everything in the room is proper and in order. Now something else happens. And for a while, this is the confession part of it, I used to feel a little guilty about that, like something was wrong. It was like I was all in leading worship as long as it was about me and that I was in control. And then as soon as I stepped behind the altar and was no longer in control, I wasn't all in anymore. Well, what I came to realize in working with a spiritual director and thinking and praying about that is that actually wasn't happening at all. That something really does change when we step behind the altar. And it's not because of us. It's because of that authority under which we serve. I don't experience that moment anymore as in a place of guilt or fear, but I know that that's exactly the point. I never was in control of anything going on in worship. We like to think that we are, but we know that stuff is happening in the rooms and the Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's really in charge. I never was in charge of worship in the first place. But stepping behind the altar to celebrate Eucharist is completely putting myself, it's putting ourselves under the authority of Christ, exercising that authority in order to live it authentically. So we nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace when we submit to the lordship of Christ, to his authority, and when we feed people with Christ's own body and blood and in such ways that we give them authority to go out into the world and to live the vows and promises that they made in their daily lives. We have authority at the altar because we are under authority. We also nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace in prayer, whether that's prayer with other people or prayer alone. And I ask you to indulge me for a moment in a pet peeve, and that is that sometimes we hear people call prayer alone as private prayer. But I would say that there is no such thing as private prayer, ever, ever. Prayer is always connected with God and connected with the community, even when we're praying by ourselves, because we are always connected to God and to other people. So private prayer never is. We have authority in prayer because we are under Christ's authority. As we pray for others, as we say to other people, I am praying for you. And as we follow through on that promise and actually do pray for them, as we ask others to pray for us, as we come together in corporate prayer, as we pray by ourselves, we have authority in the community in prayer because we are under Christ's authority. We nourish God's people from the riches of Christ's grace in pastoral care. Bishop Bob talked last night about how authority becomes ours because we earn it. One of the ways that we earn authority in parishes or in worship communities of any kind is through pastoral care, through being there with people when they're suffering and when they're dying. Part of the way that we build relationship with people so that even when they disagree with what we've said in a sermon or a decision that we've made, even when we do that, that we can remain in community is because we've done that work of being present with people in the hard times and in the joyful times. Because simply being with people in their times of loss and fear, being with them in their times of joy through our presence and in our prayer, offers hope to people and builds hope in the church. We have authority to offer that hope. We have authority in pastoral care because we're under the authority of Christ. And we nourish God's people from the riches of God's grace when we teach and preach, when we uphold and admonish, when we celebrate others, and when we lift them up and honor their gifts. We have authority in all of those areas because we are under the authority of Christ, who does all of that for us, who admonishes and corrects and who lifts us up. Because we know that Jesus loves us and everyone exactly the way we are, just as we are, we come. But Jesus loves us too much to let us stay the way we are. So he's always at work in us to make us all that we can be, all that God created us to be. And we, as ordained leaders in the church, we have that authority to do the same for others, to love people, to love them just as they are, and to love them too much to let them stay where they are, but through uplifting, through encouraging, through correcting and admonishing, to invite people to be all that they can be. Of course, we can never do that as perfectly as our Lord does it. We get it wrong because ego is in the way, because sin gets in the way. But in all humility, Christ calls us to do that work of teaching, of preaching, of encouraging, and of admonishing. And we have the authority to do that because we are under Christ's authority. When I was in Liverpool just a couple of weeks ago, I was at the service, the celebration service, the parting service for the retirement of Bishop Richard Blackburn. Some of you may remember him. He preached at my ordination as a bishop. During the sermon at his farewell service, these words were spoken: "Leadership is not about taking charge, but taking care of those in your charge." Leadership is not about taking charge, but taking care of those in your charge. So we have authority in caring for others because we are under the authority of Christ's care. And we nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace as we remain in community. As we remain in community, that's so important. Loneliness is a constant threat for us who are ordained. This work can be very isolating. When people put us on pedestals, the pedestals have changed over the generations, but they can still be there. And people still try to put us somewhere else on another level. That can be isolating. The hard things that we say when we correct or admonish someone, that can be isolating. The things that we say when we encourage people in the congregation could be isolating if others don't agree with whom we're lifting up. And we ourselves can isolate ourselves. We can fall into the temptation to believe that in order to exercise authority over the community, I've somehow got to place myself above them or separate from them. As a bishop, I see again and again, and I think we all do, that the clergy who get themselves in the most trouble are the ones who try to go it alone, the Lone Rangers, the people who have become, for whatever reasons, the most isolated. And isolation and loneliness in ministry can defeat us and deplete us. And so we need to be really attentive to community, to having a spiritual director, to having a colleague group, to having friends. Real friends, friends in the church and friends outside of the church who don't know the language we speak and who are not particularly impressed that we wear a collar. It's one of the great things about going home to visit family, you know, and people still call you by the names they called you when you were a child, and you're just a person. We need that. We need friends who love us just the way we are, but who love us too much to let us stay the way we are. Who love us so much that they encourage and admonish us so that we can become more and more who God created us to be. We have authority in community because we are under the authority of the one who is community, the triune God. And so I invite us now to some retreat time about these matters, or whatever it is that the Spirit is saying to you now. Invite us to a time of quiet conversation, or of silent reflection, of journaling, of going for a walk, of taking a nap, whatever it is that you need to do. And I offer some questions for reflection. These are an offering. If any one of these captures your imagination, then go with it. If it's something else that the Spirit is calling you to do, then go with that. So these are questions I would offer. They'll come up in just a moment. You'll see them in a moment. So, name a time when you claimed authority that was given to you and did it well. What happened? What did you learn? Or, name a time when you claimed authority that wasn't given to you. What happened? What did you learn? Name a time when you didn't claim authority that was given to you. What happened? What did you learn? Or what is the Spirit saying to you about having authority because you are under authority? Or the most important question of all, what question has God put on your heart right now? We will regather here in 50 minutes at 10:45. So I invite us to this time of retreat. Go in peace.